Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 6. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, let him be condemned, let him be judged. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that true gospel? Is it a gospel of works? Is it a gospel of baptism? Is it a gospel of a church or some preacher that can save you? Is it a gospel of the Jewish rites of circumcision? How do you get saved? What's the true gospel? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible tells us exactly what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And may I say there is no other gospel. There is one true gospel, one true saving gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. John 1:29 says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Christ died on that cross for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again, according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ is alive today. He died on the cross and shed His blood for our sins. Not for everyone else's sins, for my sins and for your sins. Then He was buried in a tomb, but praise God, He's alive today. He's alive today. He's a risen Savior. You know, we as a church have much to be thankful for. Most of all, that we have the truth of the gospel. We have the true gospel. And you know because you're saved here today, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you knew that gospel is real. Because you're alive today. Because Jesus Christ took up residence in your heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many here today have been saved through the ministry of Bible Baptist Church? Saved or influenced in some way. Look at the hands going up. Amen. Why? Because we have the true gospel. Amen. We have the salvation that's in this King James Bible. And glory to God. Amen. Glory to God that He's given us the book with the gospel in it. The greatest thing that we have to celebrate is salvation. Is salvation. And this one true gospel. And all these changed lives here today. We're all here because of the gospel. You know, the JWs came to my door. The Jehovah Witnesses came to my door. Was it yesterday? And Kathy was talking a little bit to the young ladies there. And I finally had to stick my head out. I was been sick. So I wasn't dressed properly. So all they saw was his head sticking out of the door. But I said, listen, are you Jehovah Witnesses? And they said, yes, we are. And then they were very pleasant. And I said, you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And the girl said, oh, yes, we do. I said, oh, no, you don't. You don't believe that God in the flesh, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. She said, no, we don't. I said, I need to ask you to leave. That's what the Bible says. They've transgressed the doctrine of Christ. Do not bid them any peace. Why? They have a false gospel. They have a false gospel. It would be nothing. It would be great if I could stand there and tell them about Jesus Christ and they would believe. But they would not have ever given me that time. They have a false gospel, and I will not be entertained by a false gospel. It's a works gospel. John 1:1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? Not was of God, small g. It's a false gospel. You know, many of you are here today, you're here because of an invitation. Somebody asked you to come. Or you got a card in the door. I don't know. The visitors are here. I'm so glad you came because I get a chance to preach the true gospel to you. I want to tell you that God loves you. God loves you. He loves you and He loves you and He loves you and He loves the whole world. And that's why He gave Himself. No one took His life. He gave His life on that cross. So my burden today is that everyone here, you cannot leave unless you hear how to be saved. I want to be pure from the blood of all men, Paul said, because I shun not to declare to them the whole counsel of God. I want to tell you that there's a true gospel that can save your soul today. The message is in Luke chapter 13. I'll take the illustration out of Luke chapter 13 about a woman. May I say, as you're listening, and God does speak to hearts, He speaks with a still small voice in His heart. If God speaks to your heart, don't look around the room. Look at your own heart. Let God speak to you this morning about whether you're saved or not. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. And could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You know, after 18 years of being bowled over and looking at the ground, this woman had something to shout about. She got healed. And today, this church has a lot to shout about, a lot to celebrate. 18 years of the true gospel. We have a lot to shout about. I want to talk first in verses 10 through 13 that she was a bound woman. She was a bound woman. I want to use it as a clear picture of the sinner, bound in their sin. Bound in your sin. If you're here today without Christ, whatever you're trusting in, besides the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are still bound in your sin. Why? Because we preach the true gospel here. We believe in the Bible and what it says. Not a church, not a pastor, not a priest, not any man's wisdom. What does the Bible say? And the true gospel is that we must believe in the death, and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this woman can be a picture of sin. She was bound, bowed over for 18 years. Now, where was this woman? Where was this woman? Look in verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Where was the woman? In the synagogue. She was in church. The synagogue can't help her. The priest can't help her. The church can't help you. Jesus can help you. Amen. And only Jesus can help you. Amen. Whether you're in the synagogue or the church makes no difference. I got saved down in the bottom of my house on my knees. I wasn't in a church or a synagogue. No help till she met Jesus. No church, no family member. You can't even save yourself. Only Jesus can save you. What was wrong with the woman? She had an infirmity. She had an infirmity. In verse 11 it says, And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bowed over. Everywhere she went, she was like this. How'd you like to be like this and not be able to look someone in the eye or look up at the clouds? All the time, just looking at the ground.
Bowed over for 18 years.
She was bound, like we are in our sin before we come to Christ. We don't realize the heavy load we have on our back that we're carrying around. She had a disease or some kind of sickness, some kind of weakness, but it was chronic. 18 years this woman would go in and out of the synagogue and nobody could help her. It's a long time, not being able to stand up straight. It's not easy. But we come to Jesus just as we are. And that's the way she came to Jesus. Just the way she was. With all of her sin, bowed over, she came just like she was. And if you're here today, just like you are, that's how Jesus wants you. Because He takes people from where they are and takes them where they need to be. Because that's who Jesus is. He can do that. We're just sinners. Some of us are lost sinners here today. We're lost. But Jesus is the cure for any infirmity, any weakness, any disease. The disease of sin in my heart. And Jesus is the cure for that sin.
Amen.
Where did the infirmity come from? Well, verse 16 says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years?" Satan hath bound. Well, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. First of all, let me just say, I'm not giving Satan that much credit. But yes, he could bring a spirit of infirmity. Now, this woman was healed physically. I'm using her as a picture of a sinner bound in their sin. But look at Romans chapter 8 and at verse 15. The Bible says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He's my daddy. I have such a personal relationship with God Almighty that He's my Father in heaven. I have not received the spirit of bondage. When I got saved, I received the spirit of the Spirit of God, of adoption. He brought me into His family. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not a child of God. You're a creation of God. But He wants you to come to Him and be saved. You become a child of God. But I used to have the spirit of bondage, bound in my sin, fearful of death. I don't fear death anymore. I mean, don't get a gun and shoot me or anything. I don't want to die today. I want to eat my dinner first. Maybe even come back tonight. But when I die, I win. I'm going to heaven. You kill me, I win. All right? I just don't want to go right today. Not today. But let me just say that I don't give Satan that much credit. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Look in verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Look where it started. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. You want to guess who that one man was? Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon how many men?
All men.
All men. For that all have sinned. We're all in the same boat. It was sinking. And I got a life preserver thrown to me. It's Jesus Christ, 22 years ago. But the boat is sinking, people. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to die, and you're all sinners. We're all sinners. So hell will be split wide open when you die. God has no choice. But God is long-suffering to us. To us, we're not willing that any should perish. He's the one that sent His Son to the cross. He doesn't want to see you die and go to hell. He's done everything possible to stop us from going to hell. Now turn back to Genesis chapter 2. One man's sin, Adam. Everybody here has a daddy. Everybody here had a daddy. And that sin nature was passed on through the Father. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." God gave man a soul, breathed life into him. He had real communion with God Almighty. Verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." What freedom man had in the Garden of Eden. Eat of all the trees, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You have one tree, Adam. Don't eat of it. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In a sense, stay in your innocence. Trust me. Depend upon me. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 says, now the serpent was more subtle than that beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan, in the form of a snake. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. In fact, freely you may eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Did God say not to touch it? So Eve's added, and Satan's trying to take away and cast doubt upon what God had said. It started 3 chapters into our Bible. Verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. It's the greatest lie ever told. That is the greatest lie ever told. And Satan is the father of lies. He cannot tell the truth. John 8:44. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. He is a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. Satan cannot tell the truth. You say he can tell a little truth. When he mixes truth with a lie, it's a lie. Just the same way, if we mix a little lie with the truth, it's a lie. Satan is a liar. Guess what? My Bible says in Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. God always tells you the truth. And what I'm showing you in the Bible is the truth, the one true gospel. In verse 5 it says, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, eyes wide open. Adam walked in rebellion against God, and said, I'm going to eat of the tree I've been told not to eat of. He rebelled against God. And their eyes were opened. And suddenly they saw themselves as naked and ashamed. And what's the first thing man does? He tries to fix everything in his own power. And he got some fig leaves and they covered their nakedness. That's religion. That's good works. That's baptism. That's us trying to cover our sin. Look at verse 21. Unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. The fig leaves were not good enough. God had to slay the lambs. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. All the way back in the garden, God said, we're going to have to slay a lamb. Anytime you cut the wool, the hide off of a lamb, it bleeds. The blood had to be shed. And that's the only thing that covered Adam's sin, was the blood of the lamb. And it's the same is true today. Turn back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. In fact, let's start in verse 9. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have been proved, we have before proved both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. No one can do good. Our goodness is filthy rags in the sight of God if we're going to hold it up next to the bleeding, dying Jesus Christ on a cross. Look at verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This world doesn't fear God anymore. They will someday. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Someday, every knee will bow. Every knee. I'd rather it bow today. And somebody say, Lord, would you save me? I'll bow my knee today and have the blood applied to my life and be saved. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, we're all in the same boat. I'm just a saved sinner. It took 35 years and a lot of sin for me to finally get saved. 35 years old. I'm not even going to open the curtain on my life of what I was. But I can tell you this, there was a lot of sin in my life. But if you'd asked me, Dan, are you going to go to heaven? I'd have probably said, well, I'm not as bad as the next guy. I'm okay. I'm only hurting myself. I'll be all right. God's a good God. He's a loving God. May I tell you, God is a holy God. I wouldn't want to be in heaven with me the way I used to be. I don't want to see murderers and thieves in heaven just because God's a good, loving God. He's a holy God and He will not have sin in His presence. So I had to be cleansed. So a Baptist preacher told me how to be saved. And one night I bowed my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. Totally repented of my sins. And by faith, just put my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did. And just like Lily said, when I got off the floor, it felt like I could have jumped right through the roof of my house. I was light. All the burden of sin was gone. He saved my soul. John chapter 3 talks about being born again. Not of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God. Jesus looked at a very religious man named Nicodemus, who could have stood there in all of his good, nice robes, and outwardly, he was the picture of goodness. But inside, he was dead man's bones. He was dead. And Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That to me says, if you're not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. She couldn't fix herself. I couldn't fix myself. And you can't fix yourself. She had to go to Jesus to be fixed. That's what it says in verse 11, back in Luke chapter 13. It says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation, to do something in your life to save yourself. Can't do it. You're just like this woman. I'm sure if there was a possibility she could have done something, don't you think she would have done it? After 18 years? You know what happens? We get used to our condition. We just go on living in this condition. Today you have no excuse. Hopefully you're hearing the gospel. If you walk away, you've just walked away from a free gift of salvation today. And you're going to go and live in that condition and have that sin in your heart that will never be cleansed and then someday meet a holy God. And He says, I have no choice but to cast you into hell. But I don't want to. She got used to living in that condition. Look at Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. If it wasn't in the Bible, a man could not preach this. This is not man's wisdom. Man could never be this truthful. And in a sense, you think it's so harsh, but God says, this is the way it is, because I'm a holy God. He says in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. What you earn for being a sinner is death. You were born that way. You were born with a sin nature. You sin every day. And God says, when you die, you're going to pay for it by eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a gift that He offers. It's His Son. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look, it's just across the page. Look at verse 8. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That ought to break your heart. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not of works. It's by God's love and His grace that He offers salvation. What? Through faith. Through trusting. Putting your confidence in Jesus Christ. Not by our good works. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. There's only one way. You know, back in Luke, just turn back to Luke chapter 13. I want to show you something. Luke In Luke chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him." Isn't that nice? He called her to him. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, God's seeking you this morning. You didn't come here seeking him. He's seeking you. That's what the Son of Man does. He seeks sinners. And verse 13 says, "He laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight." You're born again in a moment. In an instant, you are born again. It all happens in a moment. God saves you. And the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you and seals you forever. We're lost without him. Religion can't save you. Verse 14 and 15, you heard what the ruler of the synagogue said. He was indignant. "You're helping someone on the Sabbath?" Jesus called him what? "You hypocrite." Call him a hypocrite. You know, religion is nothing but do, 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 when it's already been done. Amen. It's already been done. The religious crowd doesn't like the true gospel. They don't want to hear the true gospel because it takes them out of the picture. You see, you don't have to depend on them. You depend on Jesus Christ. I'm not depending on John Mitchell, the Baptist preacher who told me how to be saved. I'm depending on the Christ that he told me about. The religious crowd doesn't like that. Why? Because Jesus said you're a hypocrite. You're self-righteous hypocrites. The church can't save you. They want the glory that only Jesus deserves. Listen, they want you to depend upon them instead of Christ. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and in verse 1. "If there was any other way, I think God would be good enough to tell us there's another way." But he tells us in John chapter 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily," Jesus says, "truly, truly," this is the truth, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." You can't get to heaven any other way. You can't steal your way into heaven. There's only one way. Jesus said you got to come through the door. And verse 9 says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You think you have life now? Get saved. You'll see abundant life. Woo! You'll see abundant life. To be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. To pillow your head every night and know that I'm safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. That's abundant life. To smile now in the face of adversity. To know when the troubles come that Jesus is right there with me. That's abundant life. And it only gets better. Do, 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 do. When have you done enough, religious people? When have you done enough? It's already done. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 13. Colossians 2:13. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of it, them triumphing over them in it." It's just hard to imagine just what Jesus did for us. He took all your sins and he nailed them to the cross and he bore our sins on the cross and everything that was against us, any principalities or powers, he overcame them triumphantly on the cross. That's when he bruised the head of Satan. That's when he crushed his head there on that cross. It's already done. Do you know you have €1 million in the Ulster Bank in your name? Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus Christ has already died for your sins? The Calvinist says no. But Jesus already died for the sins of the whole world. If you would just ask Him to save you, repent of your sins, feel some sorrow in your heart for you, how you've offended a holy God, and turn to Him by faith, the €1 million is now in your account. It's already there. Jesus Christ wants to save you. It's a done deal. We're the ones that will not bow the knee, humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm a lost sinner. I need Christ. Will you save me? And He says, it's done. Now, why would we pass that up? I can't believe I went 35 years till I finally heard the true gospel. The one true gospel that saves. That I didn't have to do anything but humble myself. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't have Jesus today, you have no life. And friend, believer, when you walk not with Jesus, that life is gone. We only have life in Christ. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Without Him, nothing. You need Jesus this morning. You can know that you're saved. Turn to 1 John. I'll skip the John 3:16. 1 John chapter 5. Some of the most favorite verses of the Bible are the simplest verses in the Bible, really. You know, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved. He doesn't condemn you. You're already condemned. Do you know if you don't believe on Jesus, John 3:18 says, you're already condemned because you haven't believed on Him. So He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. But in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Now I'm telling you the record that God gave of His only begotten Son, the only true gospel. If you don't believe that, then you're calling God a liar. Because God says it right in His book. And this is the record, verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Simple, isn't it? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know. I know I'm going to heaven. People at the door say, you are arrogant. When you knock on the door and you're trying to tell them, I say, I know I'm going to heaven. How can you know? I said, the Bible tells me. That's so arrogant. I said, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Why would Jesus die on the cross and not tell us? And then show us in the Bible and then we can't be sure? The woman yesterday at the door, she wasn't sure. I said, you can be sure. Well, I'm doing the best I can. I said, how much do you have to do? How much do you have to do? I said, it's by His mercy. Oh, I know all about mercy. I've been down that road. She just didn't want to hear. You walk away totally brokenhearted. Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm almost done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Today is the day. There is absolutely no reason to wait. I can't think of one reason to wait. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That means help thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. What must I do to be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer yelled when he sprung into the prison after the earthquake happened where Paul and Silas were in prison. The Philippian jailer came running in and he fell down and he said, what must I do to be saved? He had full repentance. He came in with fear and trembling, the Bible says. And he asked that simple question, what must I do to be saved? You know what the answer was? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Repentance and faith. Paul preached, said, I preached repentance towards God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 20:21. What is repentance? Look back, look in 2 Corinthians 7, you're in 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 10. What is this repentance? Verse 10, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's a superficial regret for things that we've done, and it brings about a temporary change, but that's not the change that's going to change our heart to turn to Christ. Real repentance is that we see that we've offended a holy God. We see that we're sinners. He died for my sins, that we're not good enough to go to heaven. And we change our mind about what we believe, about who we are, and who He is. That's repentance, a deep sorrow and contrition for sin. And then we need faith. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Just a couple more scriptures, please. Stay in there with me. This is too important. Romans chapter 5 and a verse 1. Many people think they have peace today with God. I can tell you, if you're not saved, you have no peace with God. You are the enemy of God. But when I got saved, I had peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How? By faith. What is faith? It's just trusting. It's just putting your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing. How do I learn to believe? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's saying, what this man is preaching up there is true. It's out of the Bible. It's God's word. I believe it. And I want to turn from my sin. And I want to turn to Christ. Guess what? You're ready to get saved. If that's what's going on in your heart, you can be saved. Repent. And by faith, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. And finally, two verses. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, we die and then what happens? There's a judgment? Yeah. Because your soul is an eternal soul. It lives forever. It'll either live in heaven or it'll live in hell. It's up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you. God's already paid the price for you to go to heaven. But once you die, there will be a judgment. Now let's read about the judgment. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And in verse 10. You ever hear the guy that says, when I get to hell, I'm going to party. Well, you'll be partying with the devil. You will. In a lake of fire. In darkness. Constant falling. Separation from God. No hope. Flesh burning but not consumed. Cries. Biting down on your lip. Gnashing of teeth. Wailing. Forever. Not for a million years. Forever. Verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's not a party. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, doesn't matter who you are, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. How would you like to have every sin you've committed, every evil work, it's all up there in heaven. It's all going to be read back to you. Every sin will be exposed and will be judged accordingly. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. It doesn't sound like anybody's escaping this thing. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This judgment is not for the believer. This judgment is for the unsaved. This judgment is for those that are here today saying, I don't know this Jesus. I've never been saved. This is what you're going to go. This is where you'll be at the great white throne judgment. You don't want to get here because there's no turning back. Once you die, your fate is sealed. But today is the day of salvation. I put this little picture up there because it's not by works. It'll only get you eternal death. But if you just come through the cross, come through Jesus, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you can be saved. It's only through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, let's turn back to Luke chapter 13 and just read verse 17. Luke chapter 13 and verse 17 says this. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I rejoice today in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This church can rejoice today in 18 years of the gospel being preached. What can you rejoice about today? You could rejoice today if you were to ask Jesus Christ to save your wretched soul. He will do it, just like he did for everyone else in here that is saved today. And the church said, Amen. Amen. Let me go through the conclusion anyway. You are bound in sin today just like this woman if you've never been saved. You have to be born again. Religion can't help you. Your church can't help you. Nobody can help you but Jesus Christ. And today is the day to be saved. So what's the challenge? Is Jesus calling you this morning? Is he speaking to your heart in that still small voice? And what will you do? The decision is yours. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I don't want to see anybody looking around, please. Just, if you're going to do anything, would you pray? Believer, would you pray for the Lord to move in this service? Every head bowed. Now look, there's people here that are not saved. I'm not trying to single you out except to say Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for you and he doesn't want you to go to hell. I've tried to tell you the truth out of the Bible, the one true gospel. I just simply want to ask a question. Would there be someone here today that would be honest enough to raise their hand and say, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never heard this before. And I'm just going to acknowledge that by raising my hand. Could you raise your hand and just tell me, I've never heard that before, but I would like to be saved. Is there anyone here, just raise your hand and say, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. I want to know how to be saved. I see one hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? So just raise your hand and say, I'm just not sure. Just never heard it like that before. Christian, this is the gospel. We need to take this out to a lost world. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. And Lord, I sat in these meetings and I sat in the back of the church and tears rolled down my cheeks when I heard that wonderful message of love. But Lord, I couldn't walk an aisle. I couldn't get out of my seat. The shame and guilt of my sin, it was like I was glued in that seat. But I know one thing, I wanted to be saved. And I'm sure there's people in here that want to know more. Father, for whatever reason, they have to deal with you. They must come to Christ. I pray that they speak to somebody. Maybe the person that brought him here today. And they just simply say, I just want to know more. I want to know how to be saved. I've never heard this before. For this one young man that's raised his hand, I pray, Lord, that he wouldn't leave here without asking someone to show him how to be saved. Lord, thank you that we have a lot to celebrate. And just the way you healed this woman, you've healed a lot of sinners in here. And I want to tell you, Lord, I love you. And I know there's many out there that just say, I love you, Lord. And I pray you'd bless the rest of our day in Jesus' name. Amen.